Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to the Church Planner Podcast. Before we started today, wanted to tell you about a really special opportunity our friends at the Micro Church Conference put on by Brave Future, happening April 18th through the 20th in Kansas City. This is for all of you who are wondering what is a new kind of paradigm for missional church planting and church multiplication through smaller expressions of church, what they call rediscovering the smaller way. It's happening April 18th through the 20th. Kansas City is being hosted by Kansas City Underground. Going to be a great weekend. And they've given us four free registrations to give away. Normally the price is $90, but we will get you into the conference for free. We have four of those. What you can do to enter is go on our Instagram at Church Planter Podcast. And there you'll find a DM button. Click that DM button. Send us a DM with your email on it and your name and where you serve. So email, name, where you serve, and you'll be entered to win one of four Micro Church Conference registrations. You just get yourself to Kansas City, and you can be there and learn a ton from our friends at Brave Futures. Hope you enjoy the show today.
The illustrious Jabba bids you welcome.
I'm going to regret this.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast, brought to you by Church Planner Magazine. Did you know that 98% of people say that they would attend church if invited by a friend, yet only 2% of churchgoers say they're actively inviting? Reach was started to change this stat, to give people a better way to invite. Reach equips congregations to invite friends in a powerful and scalable way. For every check-in on Facebook and tag on Instagram, a donation is made to a kingdom-building cause. More people hear about church from their friends, and more good is done around the world. It's that simple. Reach is offering a special promotion for Church Planner Podcast listeners. Get your first month free. To get started, just visit causely.com/reach and sign up using the promo code podcast.
Could you like shut up and give us the money?
Yeah, baby. That was our first time. That was like our virgin flight of a pre-recorded ad.
I liked, and I loved ruining the commercial with a little...
Could you, like, shut up and give us the money?
I'm just saying.
That's rad, man. I can't wait till I have my dang soundboard.
You know, it's only $50, and I know you're rich now, because you're with the rich denomination.
I am, yeah.
They got money.
I got money.
They got money. That's all I'm saying.
What was $50, the piece of kit?
Soundboard. The program that
that's
I use.
So neat. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's a program?
That's
all right.
Program.
I'm getting it. So you don't have an external
not for the soundboard. Or any...
You don't?
No.
So rad, dude. I'm so getting that.
But I actually don't know. I don't know if I'm using my external thing to be able to play it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, don't worry about it.
You got to talk to your guy. What was his name? Jason, Justin, something like that from Refuge?
Yeah.
Who hooked us up with all the sound equipment? Not
oh, yeah.
Sound advice, maybe. Maybe that's the better. He gave us sound advice.
That was pretty bad.
Really? How about Whitney Houston? How's Whitney doing?
That. That's pretty worse. And what's up with the dad jokes, man? What are you, like Indiana Jones in episode 5? Which never happened, by the way.
I was watching some YouTube video, and it was a contest between two comedians, and they would get points if they could make the other guy laugh. So they were just going back and forth with like the corniest jokes. And
you
the one
have
that,
to send that to me.
The one that just had me in stitches was, what was Whitney Houston's, wait, how did I say it to you? What kind of coordination did Whitney Houston have? And I just lost it, man. Because I thought most of them were stupid. And then that one, I was like, okay, you got me with that one.
That's pretty good.
So I've been using that on everyone ever since then. I haven't had an original thought in my life. Not a single
one. When this call started, listener, I got on here, and that's Pete actually said those very words to me and sung.
And I should say I did that not knowing you were in the middle of another interview.
I was actually on another. I'm like, I got my line muted. I'm like, hey, dude, I'm actually on another interview for my book right now.
A radio interview, like a real radio, not just podcast.
But he was talking, and you know, he knew I had to go. So, but I just thought I'd see him out.
I thought it was kind of you. That's all.
It was funny. Pete's dying when I'm telling him. But the best comment I have heard in ages was the one that Stephanie Tron gave, no. Where she said she started talking about Smack Talk. Which, welcome to the Church Planner Podcast. We do this little thing for 20, sometimes if we're naughty, 30 minutes. And she said, "Oh, I remember the first time I ever heard,
because her husband started listening to the podcast first." And he's right. Like, you got to listen to the Church Planner Podcast.
And it is an acquired taste. We get into church planning goodness about 40, the last 30 or 40 minutes. But the first one, Pete and I just talk like friends, and it's called Smack Talk. And it was so funny because she was talking about her experience. I was like, what are you listening to? She's like, then I was listening. I'm like, what in the heck is this? And can these guys even be safe? And it's, man, there are podcasts out there where like people are cussing and saying, we don't do anything. We just talk about underwear and chargers and whatever else.
I honestly think what it comes down to is Stephanie was saying, I know Pete's not saved. And Peyton, by association, I'm not sure where he stands. I think that's really what it came
down to. The best was the Bible Inner Circle. One of the members wanted Pete to come to his church. And there was some serious pitching going on for you.
Well, what I thought was funny is it was a text message. Hey, can you come speak on Sunday at, you know, whatever Sunday it was? And they gave me the location. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, they think they're texting Peyton. Like, they
are
don't.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I told you this. I can't even tell you who it is. I'll tell you who it is offline.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
Well, so there's
a request floating around out there?
It didn't say Sunday. It just said on this date. Can you speak on this date at this location? And I'm like, oh, dude, someone wants me to come speak. Well, you know, now I got to go into the whole, hey, you know, my speaking fee is this, right? And I'm like, wait a second. What day is that? And I'm like, that's a Sunday. And I think all I texted back was, you know, this isn't Peyton Jones, right? They go, oh, I'm sorry. What's his number? And I go, here's his number. And I sent him over to you that way.
That's rad. I did not know that.
Yeah, you did. You just don't remember.
Yeah.
I had told you at one time. It has since left your
hey, whole- guys, a quick word. If you listen to this podcast and you do not listen to hardcore church planning, shame on you. Get over there now and subscribe. Dang it. Because I'm getting advertisers, and I got to tell them how many of you guys listen.
And I must say that the main reason that our audience doesn't go over to hardcore, there's no longer Pete.
You know, and thus we've uncovered the real reason that Peyton did not mention Pete.
Pete gave up hardcore church planning for Lent, and it just took from there.
For Lent? Supposed to give up something bad for Lent, Pete.
Well,
do you not know how Lent works?
That is my bad. That's all I'm saying.
That's great. You know, one day men will call what is evil good and what is good evil.
I love it. I love it. So, hey, had anything fun happen to you this last week? Anything we need to bring up on the old Smack Talk-a-Rooney?
No.
You know, I don't know that I got a whole lot of either. Part of the problem is you and I talked this morning. See, we can't do the podcast. On a day we already talked.
Let me tell you, without divulging where I live, in case there's crazy stalkers that have nothing better to do, like go stalk a Hollywood person. Don't stalk me, but I live in coastal California, and I did discover that when your house
123 Ocean Street.
Hey, when you live in a neighborhood that is right near the beach, I've since found out that I can't afford to rent here. I have a house here because people that were like family said, God wants you to have this house and just go to the bank and see what you can afford. And that was the purchase price of my house. But the reality is I could not actually afford to rent. Where 1 week rental here, vacation rental, is my mortgage.
Yeah, that's normal.
Oh, it's crazy, man. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, they told
me. Are you still in the hotel? Are you still living in the hotel?
No, we're living in a house down the street from my house.
How long is it going to take for them to fix your house?
Well, I settled with them. So they paid me the big money and I'm walking away. I hired an advocate.
Oh, did that work? Did you hire him?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they got to pay my food. Otherwise, I say, I'll see you in court. Here's my lawyer's number. So it's a weird thing, dude. You hire this guy. He comes along. He takes a cut and he goes. They were arguing in my dining room. It was so funny. No, no, you got to go. They're arguing with each other. Voices were getting higher and higher and higher. And it was funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was it? The insurance adjuster and then your guy?
Yeah. My advocate, my public adjuster.
And I'm curious.
I was like, boys, don't fight over me.
Do
you want a Coke?
I don't want to bring this up on the podcast, but you got to fill me in. Like, I want to know.
I'll tell you after.
I want to know how much more he got you.
Yeah.
Because that was the catch, right? He doesn't get paid on what they already offered you. It's only the additional.
Stay tuned afterwards where Peyton gives Pete the tell all to his insurance conundrum.
I can't wait to be frank about it.
And now I'm listening to everything we say on this, wondering, what have I said that sounds like I can't be saved? I mean, Pete, yeah, but I mean, what have I said?
It's association. It's guilt by association.
But see, what I don't get, and we talked about this way back in the beginning, is if I hang out with you, it's just incredible mission. And it just makes me look really holy. I don't understand how someone would think. It just makes me look like a hardcore missionary.
Incredible mission. I love it. I love it. I'm the mission.
You guys should be like, how does Peyton do that?
I think people should be like, how is Pete still married? How did that happen?
Hey, but I do want to say I did get invited to do a wedding. And since you've been ordained through the mail, Pete, I do kind of think.
Internet. No,
the internet. That's
never been through mail yet.
Yeah, the mail actually is kind of more legit. You're right. It was the internet. Pete has his internet certificate. So you can actually marry and bury. And bury, that I wasn't in an intentional play on words, but Barry, who works for Church Planner Magazine, is getting married and it's going to be in Yosemite. And so I thought, Pete, I would send you up there.
Wait a second. Wait. We got a guy from Wales.
Yeah.
Marrying a gal from Santa Ana.
Yeah.
And they're going to go 7 hours away to Yosemite to get married.
We so tried to talk to the kid.
No friends or family from either person can attend.
That's pretty much what we told him. And so but he's like, no, you got to be there. And I know he doesn't have the money to cover my expenses. So I'm like, I don't think I can. Hey, Yosemite's not cheap. Come on. Right.
Well,
and it's 9 hours away.
Yeah. The problem with Yosemite, when is it? What time of year?
April. It's still cold there.
Yeah, it's still cold. That means I don't know that the campgrounds will even be open yet because it could still be snowy. That means you have to stay in one of the hotels, which means it's probably too late to even reserve a room.
But I will say it was like a little cabin church, like on the cover of Sunset Magazine.
That's where we go. Not that I would know. We go to Yosemite. It's the one church that's there.
It is. Yeah, that was it. It's like in a little field, and it was really sweet. And
let's get down to the nitty gritty.
I have a bear phobia. Like, I can't, I'm worried a bear's going to eat me.
Is that why you don't like me hugging you? A big bear hug from Pete?
That's why we're friends. Pete will never hug me. I will never have to face my bear phobia. Pete's my friend.
I love it, man. I love it.
So I just thought I'd send you up there. Will you do that? Will you do his marriage for me as a favor? Come on.
Well,
by the way, if Pete says no, just so you guys know, if any of you out there are ordained and you want to go in my place, I'm accepting, just send me an application, Peyton at Church Planner Mag. Tell me why this is the competition, why I should do Barry's wedding competition. Send it in.
I will say this, that absolutely, I'd be more than happy to go do the wedding service. However, unlike you, I don't lower my fee for anyone under any occasion. So he's still got to pay my fee. And this is a minimum 3-day trip. I don't know that he can afford it. Or, but
you're kind of obligated because there's
or true story. If they can't afford my fee, as long as I can sell product at the event that I'm speaking at.
Oh, nice.
I will definitely do the trade off.
And now at the time where we would normally light the Unity candle, we're going to see a PowerPoint presentation.
On business growth
consulting.
Have
you ever had this problem? You know, it'd be this total like pitch and ad. That'd be so rad.
Here's the truth. Businesses today are struggling. They need an advocate to help them with their marketing. Bring more clients. Get the profits up. I've got a 6-week course that I'll sell to you. Normally $29.97, but today only it's $19.97.
And if you act now before Barry and why am I forgetting her name?
Melissa
Kiss, we'll even throw in a bonus.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Rad.
I'm just saying.
See, I've been hanging out with you too much. My mind naturally goes there now.
Oh, this was the best, guys. And I did download this stuff. However, I haven't had a chance to put it into Voxer yet. Or not Voxer. I downloaded it from Voxer. I haven't had a chance to put it in my soundboard so I can share it with you guys.
Oh, no. I know what this is.
Okay. There was a whole discussion on Voxer about Pete joining Charlie's church. Do you remember that? And everyone started throwing all my marketing advice back at me, but from the standpoint of the church, like they're because guys, if you don't know, Peyton and I have a little something, a little ditty we call the Bivo Inner Circle. And if you don't know anything about the Bivo Inner Circle, you want to head on over to BivoInnerCircle.com. And so what we do in there is we give everyone great ministry advice, and we also teach them business advice so that way they can make money while they're doing their church, whether it's a church plant or they're an established church, but they're bivocational or just not paid enough, or they're a youth pastor, or they're getting into ministry, you know, all that type of stuff, right? So we got that thing going on, and there's all kinds of business advice. And so it just, it spiraled out of control into the funniest back and forth ever. And I think it was Travis who's like, I think, Charlie, you need to create the Jesus Inner Circle. And then Dan Sams chimes in. Well, you got to make sure the first three people who join that are Peter, James, and John, you know, which was funny on its own merits. And then Travis chimes back in and he's like, well, Charlie, if you want Pete to join your church plant, you got to give him an irresistible offer. If he does 6 months tithes up front, he gets the year for free, or the other 6 months for free. It was classic. It was great.
It was pretty good, man. I got to say and it was so quick. These guys were like lightning fast. Their wit was just flowing. It was rad.
That's because I have taught them well, my young grasshoppers. I have taught them the secrets to making money as a bivocational pastor.
Yes, you have.
BivoInnerCircle.com.
So what's happening in your life, man?
That's what I was just sitting here thinking. I don't know. Okay. My son's birthday is on Sunday. So my family's coming in for that, and I'm a little bit torn because I get this call from my family yesterday, and my dad and mom are on the line, and my dad says this, son, we would like to do something with you and your family on Monday, and what we'd really like to know is, do the kids still have Disneyland tickets? My family is going to Disneyland on Monday. Now,
I was going to ask you, what do you think they're going to do?
Someone at their church had 4 tickets that expired in 2 weeks. So they're coming, they're going to use those for them. My mom, my dad, my sister, my niece. I, on the other hand, do not have a pass. I don't have tickets. I am the unhappiest man at the happiest place on earth. I don't like Disneyland. What in the world are you doing, man? Do you have any idea what that looks like to me?
I had to button my pants.
It didn't look like you were buttoning your pants. It looked the exact opposite, and I had no idea what we were doing. I was
button my pants.
I just went from being totally comfortable with you to I don't know that I could ever look you in the eyes again. I don't know.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to make you uncomfortable. I was trying to be discreet, like, I need to button my pants, but I don't want Pete to see me.
You could have gone off camera just for a second. Just step off frame.
Yeah, I could have done that, but then you would have gotten like, Peyton's not listening to me. I was listening raptly attentive to you while I was buttoning my pants.
Which happens almost every time we talk. I'm like, Peyton's not paying a bit of attention to a word.
So I have a complex now. It's like, I got to button my pants while Pete's talking. There was an internal monologue going on there.
Well, the end of my story is this. I think I'm being forced to get another stupid Disneyland pass. It's been great.
No. You're playing this wrong, my friend. You're playing this wrong.
Tell me completely. How to play it. Tell me how to play it.
Okay. So I'm going to add these components up and you do the math. Grandparents plus kids plus Disneyland equals a free day for Pete and Jamie to do whatever they want.
No.
Babysitting.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Because here's the thing. I already tried that. I'm like, well, why do I need to go? To which Jamie informed me that I had no choice. I had to go.
Why? You just say, oh, Mom, Dad, we don't have passes anymore.
No, I don't have a pass. They know loves Disneyland.
Okay. So have your parents buy you the pass and it's a win.
I don't care about the money. I don't want the pass because now what's going to happen, I will be forced to go with the family to Disneyland.
That's right. See, but when here's they what I don't go. Get, Pete. You. Of all people, Star Wars Land is a coming.
It's not here yet.
I've seen it.
If it was here, I even told Luke, I go, I will go back to Disneyland when Star Wars Land is open.
Dude, but it's like 2 years away. I saw it.
It's 2 years away. It doesn't matter.
I saw it.
It doesn't matter.
I was walking from Fantasyland to, you know, that little place where all the smokers hang out behind Big Thunder Mountain?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, where like the rivers of America are on the right.
Right.
They've got that all boarded up.
Right. Thanks for taking away your train. It's not as if anyone's ever heard that one before.
I know. Train tracks. Well, he was really loud. But anyways, on the right-hand side, they've got like the construction barriers. But you know they do this on purpose. So like, let's find the knottiest wood we can and poke the knot holes out. You know, because, you know, everybody's up there looking through the peephole, right? Like, whoa, you know, and people are like, I see scaffolding. Everybody's reporting on it. It's funny as heck. People are like, I think I can make it. Is that Mos Eisley Cantina? Dude, it's rad. You got to just go so you can look to the people. Man.
I don't need to see it. It's not open.
Doesn't matter. It's like seeing a trailer.
You don't understand. I don't want to go to Disneyland. I don't like Disneyland. I hate Disneyland.
Why do you make me go to Disneyland? What are you talking to me about this?
I want to go to Legoland. Legoland's the one that I like. No one's ever there. The lines are always short. I like it.
Why do you like Disneyland? What's the other reason we like Disneyland?
Pete? I don't like Disneyland at all.
I mean, sorry, Legoland.
I don't know why.
Who often joins you there?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes.
Dude, remember the elevator?
We've got a friend. We've got a friend down there who will sometimes come join us.
I will.
I don't think you've ever met him.
One time, it was the best thing. Tell them about the elevator at the Legoland
Hotel. Okay, so the Legoland Hotel is awesome. And at the Legoland Hotel, when you get into the elevator...
Church planners, you can't afford this, so listen to Pete closely, because it's the closest you'll ever get, unless you join the Bible Inner Circle. Then you can stay there every night. But listen to what Pete's about to say.
No, when you get in, all of a sudden, as soon as the doors close... They start playing music and the disco ball starts going and everyone starts dancing in the elevator. All the kids, all the adults. Yeah, it plays
disco. All the lights go dim. These like neon lights come on and the glitter ball starts spinning. And this guy goes, oh yeah. It's the funniest thing. It's the best elevator ride ever.
Yeah, do not stay on the first floor of the Legoland Hotel. You have to be on some other floor so you can ride the elevator regularly.
Well, that's probably as much smack talk as we can possibly stomach.
It probably is, and it's probably best that we actually get to...
Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
Oh, yes. My sound bites.
Anyways,
I was wondering if you would like to join me in my quarters this night for some toast.
Best movie ever.
So what is today's topic, Mr. Jones?
Field training. Finally. Field training.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let you go ahead and run with that. And I'm going to go to Disneyland.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, you know, we have a saying about Pete at Disneyland, like a Pete in the sun. Right. That's like the picture of misery right there. It's Pete Mitchell sitting in the sun.
That's true.
It's true. Even at your kids' birthday parties, I come up and you're like, and it's funny because, you know, Luke's birthday is now, you know, it's like August. So I'm like, what's up? And you're like sunk into this chair with like glasses on and a hat. And you're like, what's up? You're not a happy camper.
No, not at all. I hate the sun. I hate it with a passion.
So anyways, I go to Luke's birthday parties for moral support. Let's just say that. That is a sign of my friendship right there.
Hey, all I know is this next Sunday's party is going to be at a bounce house that's supposedly air conditioned. That was my only requirement.
Score.
Has to be
air conditioned. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a selling point for my wife because it's a long drive and my wife's totally cool with it. But I'll tell her, hey, bounce house for the kids.
Air conditioning for the adults.
Dude, we joined a trampoline place when my mom died. And that was weird. Day after my mom died, I was jumping on a trampoline. And it was a weird feeling. Like, should I be doing this? But it was a nice distraction, I have to say.
Hey, before we actually finish and actually get into field the
training.
Topic.
Field training.
And get into field training. I do need to say that I did get an email within the last half hour from Marvel Studios telling me that between August 25th and August 31st, I can see all 11 Marvel Studios films for $5 each. Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Thor, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Avengers, Doctor Strange, Iron Man. I'm not going to be working next week. That's all I'm saying.
That's cool, man. Yeah. That's cool. So, guys, the podcast and everything is going to kind of fall down a little bit next week. Just be understanding. Pete gave you a good reason. So here's the deal. Field training. How do we segue into this?
I don't know. You got to explain to me what field training is.
Well,
which I have to say, I have an assistant named Wayne, and we got an order for the Jump School book and video set of 6 movies. And I go, and I'm showing them in my office. I go, okay, here's where they are. So when the orders come in, you take these and you stick them in the mail them out. And he goes, Peyton really likes this military theme, doesn't he? And I go, Peyton really likes the term jump school. So I'm surprised that you didn't call field training jump school. That's all I'm saying.
That's hilarious, man. Well, you know, here's the deal. Let's just talk about how we do church first, and then that will kind of apply to how we do training. Number one, the way we do church is we gather everybody into a room and we talk at them for 30 minutes, maybe more, and we tell them, hey, church, go, you know, you need to like do stuff, even though all they do is come and listen. And then afterwards, it's like, you know, a huddle breaking up at a football game, ready, break. And we all clap. And then someone goes, now go be the church. And then, you know, after every time we get together, we just sit or we sit and eat or whatever. We just sit and listen. Then somehow magically, when we leave the building, we're supposed to go do all this action. And for me, I remember years ago realizing that maybe we should do this action stuff together. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, while we're gathered. I know that's a crazy idea, and I'm kind of a little bit of a radical thinker here, and maybe a little crazy, but maybe instead of doing nothing while we're together and talking about doing something, then challenging each other to do something, anything when we're not together, maybe we should do stuff when we are together. And of course, when you read the New Testament, you see that that's how church was. It was interactive. It was busy. There's evangelism going on, all that kind of stuff. So that became the model of church for me. I talk about it in Church Zero. I talk about it in Reaching the Unreached. Cha-ching, cha-ching. I had to do it twice.
Nice.
And and our training is no different. I don't know how many times I've been to training where we come together and we get in a room and we talk about stuff that we could do, but we only talk about it. Now imagine the military, right? Imagine if you were a soldier or a MMA fighter, and every time you came to practice, they go, right, here's the principles of hitting somebody. First, you wind back your arm. You can hit them from the side. You can hit them dead on in the center. You can come from below or you can come from above. You can hit them from the left side or the right side.
Why did they become British all of a sudden?
They became nerds. So to get a good response from some people from the podcast where we talked about reaching the nerds, remember that?
I didn't know we got response from it. I don't remember.
Yeah, we did. We did. Somebody was very blessed. A nerd. But here's the deal. The reality is that's what we do with church planning. We get together and we talk about church planning, but we don't do anything when we're together. And so contrasting this from Paul, if you really want a church plant, a lot of the internships for church planners are internships in established churches. What you're going to do is you're going to learn how to be a clerk, you know, a desk clerk, as Pete calls it, a pew jockey, a pencil pusher for Jesus. You're going to learn to do church chores. Hey, make these copies, intern, do this, intern, come to this meeting and sit, intern, come here and drink coffee with us and talk, intern. But you're not actually doing church planting. And so one of the things that, you know, a few years ago, I was developing something called Train Station, which was all interactive, and it was interactive together where we did stuff that we talked about, but also it had field training. Field training is where you make field trips into an area and you actually train people on the ground. Here's a part of the community. Let's go look at it. Let's go pray for it. Let's come back. Let's strategize. Let's decide, whose strategy makes the most sense. Let's pray about it. And then what would often happen is coming on from that, I would give them an assignment to say, hey, come up with a master strategy so that by week four, we're going to go do that together. And we're going to do that for a number of weeks. And of course, I got recruited by NAM, which, you know, was a good thing. And I'm definitely developing some field training for them right now. But the reality is that's always been my passion, is field training. And in case in point, I have a guy. He came with us to Train Station, and because Train Station, it ended preemptively. What happened was I started making films, and he was a guy that in Train Station said, "Hey, Peyton, want me to film these?" And I said, "Yeah."
Why don't you explain what Train Station is?
So Train Station was meant to be an 8-month training course that ran from September to May. And what it did was we met for 2 hours every week. It was Mondays, and we had a topic. Like, so the first one was, what is church planning? And we would have three phases: deconstruction, construction, and reconstruction. So we deconstruct it, right? First thing we do is, you know, like, for example, I talked about the difference between church starts versus church plants. Church starts are where you get a building. And, you know, you get all the sexy logos and this. And then I said, but church planting is where you actually make disciples out of non-believers. You evangelize, you infiltrate the community, you occupy, you know, on and on. And then I say, and a church comes out of that because believers come out of that. And so it's frontline. It's this. And so we contrasted. And at the end of that day, the very first day, this is how you know you're in for it. I said, today, your homework for next week is to go out into the community this week and lead someone to Jesus. And they all kind of looked at me like, what? What'd you say? And so I knew and I anticipated this response. So I said, okay, all right, you guys are looking at me. What's going on? And some were like, hey, this is not really up to us. And I go, oh, but on the contrary, Paul says they're out there, you know, God's marked them, but how are they going to believe unless someone goes tells them? Come on, man, get out there. And I go, wait, are you guys telling me, your church planners, you're going to go write these newsletters and talk about how you're going to change a whole community? But if I tell you to go out there and reach one person for Jesus this week, that's too hard. I don't know. How are you going to be a church planner then? That is church planning. And so, and that was where, you know, I know I feel a little bit like a jerk sometimes, but it was the challenge people need. I think sometimes people just need like mama bird to be pushed out of the nest. And I'll come back to Bo, who I was talking about, where the story comes full circle, because what happened was there was a guy named Mark Allen. He was in Riverside County. There were guys coming from four counties, because as soon as you say, hey, there's free training, and it was free, you know, and they came, and all of those planners today are still going strong. Like, it was good training. And what happened was this guy, Mark Allen, he didn't know what to do, but I had mentioned, you know, like, hey, you know, like, you could go get a Starbucks traveler and go sit on a bus stop. You know, offer people coffee, because I had been reading something by Alan Briggs, and he mentioned he does that every autumn, and it was autumn. And so he said, well, so he comes back next week. Everyone comes back. And I said, guys, what happened this week? And what I really want to show him was that action begets results. So much of us have learned the habit of inactivity. And so I said, well, you know, what happened? And he shared, I don't think anyone else did anything, right? Which is part of the problem, right? We want to go to more seminars. We want to sit in more classes. We want to, but nobody wants to get out and do anything. And so I ended up saying to, or Mark started sharing. He said, well, he goes, it was crazy. I didn't know what to do. And I was really challenged. And I went out and I sat down. I got a Starbucks traveler, sat down on a bench. It was cold. People thought I was an axe murderer at first. Started pouring coffee. And of course, this is in Reaching the Unreached, cha-ching,
Unreaching the Reached.
I did see a website kind of like that this week, funny enough. ReachingTheUnReachedBook.com. Cha-ching. I had to say it again. But, He said, you know, and people eventually started trusting me and taking the coffee. I just said, hey, it's just cold, you know, and I'm out here, stupid train. But he said, by the end of it, people were talking to me. And he said, this one guy, he was a 50-year-old black guy, would not get on the bus. He missed his bus twice. But by the end of it, by the time he did finally get on his third bus, he had come to faith right there on the bench. And he's like, I was just amazed how many more people are walking around like that. That, you know, the guy was like, no, we got to keep talking. He wouldn't get on his bus. And, you know, imagine now here's the other guys in the class, and they're realizing, you know, I could have had a story if I'd done something, if I'd just gotten out there. And, of course, that's what Refuge Long Beach really was we were comfortable, man. We're in a Presbyterian church in this, you know, more in the suburbs, still kind of downtown, but more of like a safer neighborhood than where we eventually went. If you remember the Presbyterian church.
Yeah.
And the first thing I said was, guys, we need to get out of here. Right? This is conquered ground, man. Like, this is ground's already been taken. Let's get out on the front lines. Let's get out there into a part of the community where there aren't churches, well, and let's go reach.
Let's hit on something here so you understand why. Okay, this is something that I'm constantly drilling into all of my clients' heads when it comes to marketing for businesses, and it's the same thing for this, what we're talking about, evangelism. And that is, there's two conversations going on. There's the conversation in your mind and the conversation in your prospect mind, or the business owner's mind, or the bottom line is the other guy's mind. So when we're talking about evangelism, when we're talking about reaching people, you got to realize you might have a really nice building. Those four walls and the door are a barrier. They are keeping people out because they're going, dude, I don't know if I'm going to be comfortable in there. I've never gone to church, or I haven't gone to church since I was a kid. What's it, you know, what's going to happen once I walk through those doors? I don't know that this is cool or not. And right. You got to realize, yeah, I need a place for my church to meet. That's what you're thinking. I mean, one, you know this about me, and I'm going to go off here for a second.
Yeah.
I hate the outdoors. Specifically, I hate the sun. If it's totally overcast, I actually love it outside. I wish God called me to Wales. Technically, I wish he called my wife because she's the only reason I stay in this miserable sunny land where it's sunny 364 days a year. I know it's like everyone's dream. It's not mine. I hate the sun so bad that every church we ever went to here in Southern California, they always had, oh, hey, don't forget, next Sunday is our Sunday in the park. And I just look at her and I go, I'm not going to church next week. I don't give a rip. I'm not going to church because I am not sitting outside. I can't stand the sun.
Right.
Until Refuge Long Beach.
Right.
And everything changed because now it wasn't like a once a month thing. We were always in the park. When we met at Luther Burbank School, we met outside on the bleachers.
They're like, what in the heck, man? We have a building now.
I know, right?
We had a building outside there too
with air conditioning, and we wouldn't use it, right? We were outside because the second you take people inside, they're like, I don't want to go in there.
Well, okay. So, and that was, this is so powerful that I'm so glad you brought that up because I forgot that. The reason we met outside was we would serve breakfast and people would come for it was good breakfast, right?
Yep.
My favorite one, and we had some really good cooks, but my favorite one was when Pete went to McDonald's.
Because we didn't have food and people are hungry.
Egg McMuffins.
I was so hungry. I was like, that's it. I'm going to McDonald's. I'm getting some McMuffins.
The only time it ever happened, someone completely dropped the ball and Pete, you know, stepped up, goes to McDonald's and goes, 60 egg McMuffins, please.
But it was like right when they were ending breakfast. They're like,
so good.
We stopped serving breakfast. I'd like 60 of them. Okay, we'll turn the fryers back on.
Oh my gosh, dude. You were like, they were so good because they had just been made.
Yeah.
Never eaten them like that in my life. They melted in your mouth.
Yep.
And now I'm hungry, dang you. They serve breakfast all day.
All day now. It's great. It's wonderful.
I know. So anyways, but what we would find is that people would come for this breakfast, and then as soon as church started, they'd take off. They'd be like, I don't know. Like, yeah. They'd hang out with us. They'd talk with us. They'd eat with us. So we're like, let's just do church here.
On the bleachers.
These benches, man. Yeah. Like, just do it outdoors. And it was a sacrifice, but it was effective. We had people then going, oh, cool. I'll stay here. You know,
it changed from, oh, look, we're going to go do church outside and make Pete miserable to we're doing church outside because we're reaching people who won't come through the doors. And like it changed for me and I got it. And I didn't care if I had to get up and move my chair to another part because the shade moved, which I do. I'd follow the freaking shade. I'm the guy like every 2 minutes, I'm like, oh, pick up the chair, move over 2 more feet. Okay, I'm back down because I'm a redhead. I don't like the sun. But it changed things. It absolutely changed things.
Right. Right.
Sorry. I totally took you off track with that.
No, dude, you're fine. You're fine. Here's a cool thing, man, is that, you know, I'm looking at everything that we're talking about, fuel training. And just imagine for a second, there we were doing mission together. And everything we did didn't come from me. It came from our people. Like, I'll never forget the first Sunday. Okay, we had that episode I talk about in Reaching Then Reach, ching, where the lady, you know, where I sent them out for 40 minutes and they came back 2.5 hours later, some of them, right? Remember that day? It was after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I remember because my wife was pregnant and we were both like, I'm not going anywhere.
We're like, will you stay back and watch the supplies,
Pete? We're going to make sure that if anyone needs help, I'll quickly run to them.
I'm the greeter, for anyone who shows up late. So, what happened was, you know, that was radical and people, but I write about that at length in the book, but here's kind of the cool thing was people started just learning like by doing. So I remember one lady, she was a nurse. I don't tell this story anywhere, but when she saw homeless people turn up, she was like, I'll never forget the day she boiled 30 eggs, brought it in a big pot, brought a Costco pack of string cheese and a big colander dish filled with red apples. And I said, oh, what's this? She goes, well, I figured there's a lot of people that are homeless here and our crew's kind of hungry. you know, why don't we just put this stuff out at the back? And then people are hungry. And so I was like, well, couldn't you have at least peeled the eggs for people? I mean, for Pete's sake. No, I didn't say that. But it was beautiful. It was like, I ruined that moment.
You did. It's something that I would have done. So that's awesome.
Yeah. It's what happens in my family nonstop. So it was pretty rad, man. It was just kind of like, you know what? You know, that just came because you were on mission. You saw something and you went for it. That eventually evolved into making breakfast, because suddenly we'd be hanging out with people in the back talking with them, and they're like, thanks so much for this. Like, I could just take this. Yeah, you can just take it. I don't have to stay though, right? No, you don't have to stay. I'm Peyton, by the way. Nice to meet you. What's your name? Well, my name's blah, blah, blah. You can't teach people that unless you're out there doing it with them. I'll never forget the day we did, and it was when we moved to Revolution Park. And this is field training. What I'm saying is, don't go meet in a room. You can meet in a room, but what I'm saying is, be on mission. However that's going to look for you, be on mission as a church. I think just meeting in church and having a church service is not going to be like being on mission, but I think you can shake it up. You could do other things, and you don't have to do it the way we did it. But because the way we did it here is nothing like Pillar. But I remember one day I was like, okay, we're shifting over to Revolution. I want to do something big. That's not normally me, but it happened to be our anniversary. And so remember, we got that big rapper guy, Big Unk. He came, and we got Chris Lazat, and we got a couple other bands. But we don't do this stuff. We're not in the event church, but this is rad. Because we were a praying church, and we felt we should just do this. We should just throw this big party in the park for us. We're totally the barbecue church. So let's throw down this huge barbecue. Let's have fun. Let's do it. Let's, you know, just so then all of a sudden I'm like, let's advertise on the radio. I never do that. Right. I don't know, man. I didn't know 90% of the people work in the barbecue line, work in the booths. I'd walk up and I'd be like, oh, thanks for helping, thinking like maybe they heard it on that, because we gave a call, hey, if you want to go on mission, like our ad was like this. It was on the Christian radio station. We go, hey, what's the missing ingredient in your life? I bet any more than anything, it's mission. That's why you've been bored as a Christian, because you're not doing what God called you to do, something like that. You want to go on mission the same time you're going to church? Come down to Refuge Long Beach. We're going to be throwing a party in the park, blah, 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 blah. So we do that, right? And so I'm going to these booths. Remember, we had like a cotton candy machine. We had like dunk tank. We had a little fishing thing. But all these booths, and we might have called the Southern Baptist, because they have all that stuff in a kit. You know, they bring this big trailer. I think it's like, you know, the Southern Baptist fun bus or something. It turns up and all of you unlock it and unleash all the fun. And boom, you know, all this stuff comes out. So I'm pretty sure we rented that. And dude, none of our people were manning those booths. And I thought there were people from the radio going, I heard your ad, and I thought I'd come down and help. Nope. I'd be like, oh, thanks for helping. Where are you from? They'd be like, oh, from here. And I'd be like, really? What? Yeah, no, we were just hanging out in the park, and somebody said, hey, you want to help us this booth?
That's awesome.
Typical Refuge Long Beach style, right?
See, I remember I couldn't go to that event.
You weren't there?
No, I don't remember what happened. There was something going on with my kids or Jamie or something, because I remember I had to drive there and like give the keys for the tithe bag to Mike Berry, and I couldn't be there.
I was impressed, dude. I got to say, I'm not a big event guy, and mainly because it's not my gift, and I think if I try to pull off event, it's really going to suck. So I tend not to do events, right? It's not that I don't believe in them, but hey, in the Old Testament, they did festivals. They did in the New Testament. Remember, Pentecost happened to be a festival, kind of a big event day. But here's the deal. I was like, man, this is working. But what was rad was these were non-believers working our booths, man. And I'm just like, this is rad. They were on mission with us. And that's one of the huge takeaways. There's a girl who was part of the breakfast crew, because we had four teams for breakfast, and they would kind of like almost compete, you know, like remember how like the one would always do the Egg McMuffins, the other ones would always do the Mexican. And when we rotate breakfast, and then we'd have then we eventually change it to the first of the month was barbecue day. So we would have a little something there, but nothing big, you know, and then you'd have the giant barbecue afterwards. And, but one of the ladies came, she wouldn't even save, man. And she's on the food. She was on that food truck show on Food Channel.
Oh, Food Network.
She, that's how we lost her. She's like, hey, goodbye, everybody. I'm going on the Food Network channel. But she was there in downtown Long Beach cooking her breakfast one Sunday a month. Mm. And she brought a crap load of people with her. And she ended up coming to faith. And the people she brought with her came to faith. But I was like, are you kidding me? Like people, that's just field training, man. People unsaved in our worship band. These are the things we try to tell people is, look, when you go on mission together, that's where the magic happens. And so anyways, I don't know what point I was trying to make other than there are just things you cannot train or teach in a classroom. Like I can talk about this now, but going back to Bo Moffitt, Bo is a church planner in North County, San Diego. And he was a guy that I mentioned at the very beginning of the podcast saying that he said, hey, I see this train station thing you're doing. You want me to film it? And I go, yeah. So when I took my NAM contract, what happened was they asked me, hey, will you make training videos for us? So I did, but I said, I need to hire a film crew. So I hired Bo and Dan Torres. And Bo was like, he's just sitting there. I'll never forget because he had a house church. And the house church was doing pretty well. But he's listening to me making all these videos behind the camera. And eventually it was like, next thing I know, and I only went to Bo's church for about a month, so I can't take any credit on the ground. But next thing I know, Bo's meeting out in a park. He's meeting in downtown Carlsbad, right? In a park, seeing more people come to faith, more people come to his church. And I remember I said, man, you're in the park now? And he goes, yeah, man, you've totally corrupted me. He's like, I couldn't keep listening to that stuff. And I'd eventually do it. He's like, Peyton, we got to resurrect train station. He's like, people need to know. You just got to do stuff. And you got to have people there making you do stuff. And here's the deal. It's kind of like Paul with Timothy, right? You know that Paul was pushing Timothy out of the nest. You know that Paul was making Timothy do things while they're on the road. Paul's method of church planter training was the same that I believe in. And that is, if I'm going to train you to plant a church, I do it by planting a church with you. And then the stuff that can't be taught in a classroom is the stuff that truly changes you and truly transforms you. Not knocking the classroom, because Paul did that daily in the Hall of Tyrannus.
Yep.
But then afterwards, the practicum was, let's go plant in the seven churches of Asia.
Yeah, no, I get it, because in business, it's the same way. Like, I obviously do a ton of training. I train people how to do all kinds of stuff. But where you really, like, get the best training is when we go out and do it together. Like, I will go out and do speaking events with people. And they get to see me do it. I get to see them do it. I get to tell them, this is why I did this. This is why I didn't do that. Or here's what you need to be working on. And you get to see it by doing it. And there's also a comfort level, right, for the new guy, because he's like, I'm not alone. You know, that fear of, what if I really screw things up? Well, I don't have that fear. I honestly look at it and go, I don't care how bad you are. There's nothing I can't save. Like, that's out of my ego,
right,
and arrogance. But in business, that's just the way I feel. And so I can imagine that feeling of field training, right, as you call it, of, okay, but I can see Peyton do it. He's going to, you know, debrief with me. This is why I did this. He's going to watch me do it. He's going to give me some notes on what I need to improve. But I don't feel like I'm jumping out of a plane without somebody who's done it before.
Right.
And that's what, right, I think a lot of church planters feel.
I agree, man.
Here's a parachute. Exactly. Get up there. Jump. And you're like, what? Never done that. Maybe
that's,
we should,
why,
do something.
We called it jump school.
We should,
baby,
do something called jump school. I think it'd be awesome.
That's why we called it jump school, because we're like, look, we're going to jump with you, man. You know, so that's how it started. And then eventually we said, yeah, we can't jump with you because you're in the middle of America. You're like in Kansas or Montana, and we can't do that. We're in California. So here's jump school, the movie. Here's jump school, the book. Here's jump school, the course.
Yeah.
But anyways, hey, Pete, wasn't this podcast brought to us by BiVoInnerCircle.com?
You know, it sure was, Peyton. In fact, I would say if you're a bivocational pastor or church planner, you should go check out BiVoInnerCircle.com, because I'm told that they have great resources that show you two main things. how to reach the unreached, and how to make a living outside of the church while you're reaching the unreached. It's really an amazing program.
So come to my free seminar, and I will teach you how to make a lot of money.
And you get all
thank you. Thank you for being.
You get all these unbelievers just like me. Look at them all here on my boat. It's great in the park.
When I began, I had nothing, no converts, no unbelievers in my church. But now look at all my beautiful converts.
I think my accent like totally switched. I think it started a little Asian, then it went a little Middle Eastern. And I don't know where it ended up there at the end.
We just globetrotted. And by the way, after the events of Charlottesville, racism sucks. That is our official position here at Church Planner Magazine. And white supremacists and Nazis, you have First Amendment rights to be absolutely disgusting human beings. But Jesus loves you anyways. And we're going to pray for your salvation.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Hey, real quick before we sign off. If they need help with their bookkeeping, payroll, anything like that, where should they go?
Definitely not to the neo-Nazi party or the white supremacists. That is a bad move. Where you want to go instead is you want to go to simplifiedchurch.com. Those are the people that help you with your IRS and bookkeeping needs. Too far?
No, I was looking for a good soundbite to throw in there with it, and I got
how
nothing.
Do you segue away from racism to Simplify Church? I mean, I was really striving there. You set me up for failure, brother.
Chancho, when you are a man, sometimes you wear stretchy pants in your room. It's for fun.
Well, if they didn't think we were saved at the beginning of the podcast, man, they definitely don't think we're saved by the
end. That's all right. They didn't stick around, so it's okay.
They didn't. That is true, and they missed the stretchy pants. Well, guys, this has been the Church Planner Podcast, reminding you, if you want to reach the ones nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going. And dang it, you need to do what nobody's doing.
Thanks for joining us for another weekly episode of the Church Planner Podcast with Pete Mitchell and Peyton Jones. We'd love to hear your comments on this episode of the Church Planner Podcast. Visit us online and let us know what you thought at churchplannerpodcast.com. If you subscribe to us via iTunes and have enjoyed the podcast, leave us a positive review. The more positive reviews we receive in iTunes, the more iTunes will promote us to other church planners who would benefit from this show. This podcast is brought to you by the Church Planner Magazine, which is available in the iTunes newsstand or online via churchplannermagazine.com.